Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Chris.
And this week on The Weekly, new TSR bankrupt.
Oh.
So the period at a very long, weird sentence. Heroescape returns.
Okay.
Surprisingly, after kind of not returning.
Yeah.
Embracer lays off and restructures. Mm-hmm. And Privateer Press Legacy ends.
Ooh,
so okay. They're discontinuing some things. So let's start with possibly the last time we'll be able to use this interstitial.
Ooh.
So the end of this is, what is this, a series finale possibly?
I guess so.
Yeah. Right.
Don't forget to switch back.
Sadly enough. Yeah, sadly enough. There we go.
So was the whole deal like, was Gygax turning in his grave over this?
I think so, yeah.
Because based on the material I've seen that new TSR picks out,
mm-hmm.
puts out, I think Gygax would have loved it.
I don't know. There's some weird stuff bled into that though. So yeah, they
I don't know. My opinion of Gygax is not that high. So right. I think it'd have been like, this is great stuff.
Yes.
Right? Anyway.
So what I'm thinking is if we want to continue this, because I've been reading Game Wizards and read the previous what is it, the Slaying the Dragon.
Okay.
So about the early days and kind of the business so that Slaying the Dragon was WotC's takeover of D&D.
Right.
Game Wizards is Gygax and Arneson, kind of their early history and why it went so badly. But there's a lot of stuff in there, like passages that would be good as the Gygax turns, kind of the drama and the kind of shenanigans that went on with, oh, yeah, you didn't get paid? Oh, I'm sure that check's in the mail. Let me check with those guys.
Like,
oh, they went out of business. So new TSR, right? So
yep.
We remember this. So this kept us entertained over the pandemic, and basically the
entertained, the yeah, most cringe culture. Okay.
the most trauma, yeah, right, cringe comedy. The most of the their shenanigans happened like right in the middle of the pandemic, like 2020, 2021. So new TSR or TSR 3, owned by Justin Lanassa, has filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which will liquidate the company's assets, which we're not quite sure what exactly that includes.
None.
But so that means, so this is Chapter 7, not Chapter 11. So it's not going to be a restructuring, an attempt to survive. It's just take it, you know, anything they own to anybody. And so they're claiming their liabilities are $384,000 in liability. So that might be, you know, the mortgage on the museum. People aren't quite sure like what they're claiming they own. Their gross revenue for 2023 was $621.
I think I might know like, okay, not in my actual job. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, I'm pretty sure I've made more than that in the year on itch.
Oh, all right.
With a fucking pay what you want game.
Right.
So yes. There you go.
Yes. So hopefully this doesn't mean the end of the museum. Hopefully there'll be some kind of deal or something that could be made to take that over. But so they emerged in 2020, this new TSR, TSR 3, and registered the defunct TSR trademark. And working with, of course, Ernie Gygax, Justin Lanassa moved to kind of say, we're back. The boys are back in town. You know, old school is back. This is the legitimate thing.
Okay.
And then going after Wizards of the Coast. So, they attempted, of course, to sue publisher Wizards of the Coast, claiming they had the trademark and TSR is theirs, not belonging to Wizards, but it was obviously sold to them. They have a lot of documentation, a lot of lawyers.
I have to wonder why you did that.
I don't know. I mean, just to see if they could get away with it.
I don't know, I'm kind of tangent here. Wouldn't you just try and like get away with something against a company that's smaller than you?
Right. Or at least distracted, like that's not a money making property. So if they don't defend it, then you know, it can go your way if they're just like, this is not even worth, you know.
This seems to me like you're like, oh yeah, I just found this sharp stick. I'm gonna poke this giant fucking bear and see what happens. Oh god. Right.
And maybe they just hope that TSR that Wizards was uninterested in it. They were more worried about pushing, you know, the D&D Wizards of the Coast.
Okay, fair enough.
Brand.
All right, I guess.
And we're trying to get away with that, but that turned around and bit them in the ass because then Wizards of the Coast said, no, we have proof we own this, and they sued them back. So that is probably a big reason for this bankruptcy filing. So so we got to enjoy all of this, and there's a really great, they call it the full and glorious history of new TSR on NWorld, so nworld.org, and I'll put a link to that in the description. And so let's just take a trip down through back through memory lane.
Some memory history, should not be revisited.
The history of TSR. So all the way back to 1974, when TSR was created, uh-huh. for and they create D&D, of course. Then jump ahead, 1997, Wizards of the Coast buys TSR. Uh-huh. And then Wizards of the Coast is bought by Hasbro 2 years later. So November of 2012, Jason Elliott registers TSR2 as a name and trademark to launch Gygax Magazine, working with both Luke and Ernie Gygax. Then November of 2015, Gail Gygax, the widow, sues him, and Luke and Ernie are forced to leave the magazine, and it's closed. But the company TSR2 continues to sell Top Secret under the TSR2 name. Jump ahead to October 2020, the Dungeon Hobby Shop Museum claims ownership of various TSR logos and tries to license them to OSR publishers. June 2021, TSR3 announces himself with a press release. So this is the birth of new TSR. Right. Claims the original TSR is back under the leadership of Ernie Gygax, Gary Sun, and the band is back together. That's what they said. The band is back together. So their first announcement was they were going to publish Jim Ward's Giantlands with Stephen Dinehart. And so then... Everything seems to happen in June and July. I think we talked every week about them in June and July. That's why our little graphic was created. So they rebooting Star Frontiers, and then all of the transphobia and racism and everything started coming out in interviews. And I was really convinced that they were going to really lean into this, and there was going to be a make D&D great again kind of movement. You know, that there would be enough like people. Interested in this kind of attitude that they were taking, but very quickly everyone just backed off because it got. I mean, the things that they were, finding out in on their social media and stuff was way beyond anything that anyone wanted to deal with. So various companies distanced themselves, of course, from TSR3, including Gen Con. Yeah. And then TSR2 rebrands themselves Solarian Games to get away from the TSR completely. Gamma and various other individuals such as Luke Gygax, Tim Kask, and Jeff D all distance themselves because TSR3 was claiming they're working with these people. They're working with the original people from TSR, and which was they were approached, but there wasn't any contracts or anything between them, so it was very very suspicious. So it just goes on and on, and then we had the Wonderfield wrong thing that happened, and they then claimed that we did do Star Frontiers, and we did do Giantlands, but they're really short runs and they sold out right away, and they had these miraculous things. And then, of course,
sounds like excuses my kid gives. She's six, right?
And who could forget the Indiegogo? I think it was Indiegogo. Oh, their crowdfunding, where they were claiming they needed to stop Wizards of the Coast, and they were, collecting money for their legal fund to attempt to.
Guess they didn't collect enough
to fight for the trademark. And at the time when they built this, wrote this list, the crowdfunding campaign is still running. Like ran for a long time. Yeah, that was Indiegogo. And so it just goes
That is a block of text.
Yeah, it's really fun. I'll follow that link if you want to read everything blow by blow that happened. But basically, the most of it happened in 2021 to 2022, and the finale June 8th, 2023. New TSR files for bankruptcy.
Yeah, this is kind of not the first time, but maybe the first ish time we've heard about like new TSR this year.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, they've been quiet. Yeah, that's true. They've been quiet for a while. I think because once they got sued by Wizards, they were like, "What are we doing? What are we going to do?" So that does mean that the case between WotC and New TSR is postponed until March, until all of this is resolved. So there may not be anything to sue unless they're going to actually be able to go after the individuals. Be able to go after individuals involved in this. But the other thing that was really funny about this story is the comments underneath, because there was a little bit of a typo when they first showed the profits that New TSR was making. They did $621, but there was an M. There was just this like random M there, okay. So maybe just a typo. And people were like, $621 million. They have revenue of 600. So people were so. How are they? Where did they make this money? So everyone was.
I didn't even see that typo. Yeah. I just saw everyone sharing on social media $364.
Yeah,
and just like.
Yeah, so people in the comments were all. That was pretty funny. They were all freaking out. About how is this even possible? But somebody did make a good point. You know, there's still the Dungeon Hobby Shop Museum LLC, which may or may not be the lawful recipient of TSR LLC's assets. But, you know, what needs to happen is a nonprofit or somebody needs to step up and, you know, get involved legally in trying to take some sort of control of this and do some sort of fundraising and protect it.
Right.
See it as a historical. Having historical significance and protect it and not let all these weird shenanigans, you know, right. go on around it, exploiting the name and you know, supposed possession of trademarks and things. That would be the best result of this is it just gets taken out of exploitative hands and then actually becomes a place somebody can visit.
Like a museum.
Yeah, right. Yeah, actually function.
I would never visit, but okay, fine, right? It's like, I understand its significance in the hobby. And yeah, like I was just talking about like, hey, piracy is the only way to like archive all this media we're losing. So yes, okay. Mm. I'd be a hypocrite if I said, just let it disappear. So yeah, okay, right, someone needs to step in, archive it. I'll never visit. I don't care.
Yeah, but it would just be sad if that was a casualty of this, that you know, all of that just got turned into a, you know, Red Lobster or something. I don't know if they leveled it and turned it into fast food or whatever.
Red Lobster with like all the notes and stuff. All over
that's right. Yeah, the official dungeon museum lobster. Red Lobster.
There's a hook. Dungeon Lobster. There you go.
Yes. So it's a sad end. So we'll see if there's a possible set. Well, it's said that
okay for history.
Yeah.
I guess for yes. Okay.
Because now. You know, all of the Critical Role, 5th edition, you know, D&D gamers, this is what they think of TSR. Like, this is the last news they saw about TSR, is the Ernie Gygax shenanigans, the Justin Linassa stuff. So their idea of what TSR is like, oh, there's just a bunch of con men and swindlers and racists. And yeah.
Why do we care?
So it's unfortunate. But this looks like it puts a period at the end of this weird long sentence, this long run-on sentence. So yes, see in hell, new TSR. and we'll see if it pops up again. I'm sure some of these characters, I'm sure some of the persona dramatis will pop up again in other tabletop shenanigans. But for now, it's TSR is no dead. More. Yeah. So we'll see. And we'll see what Wizards decides to do with it. But speaking of things that Hasbro doesn't know how to manage or do anything with, Wargaming Classic Heroescape is coming back. Wait, I thought it was trying to come back before. Yes.
Yeah, it's trying to come back again.
Yeah, so the HasLab.
It's like a bad rash.
Yeah, so HasLab, right. That weird crowdfunding platform that Hasbro has, where they get to keep all the money and don't share anything with Kickstarter, had a failed crowdfunding for what they were calling... what is it? Heroescape Age of Annihilation. Mm-hmm. And
we talked about it. Right?
Yeah. We talked about it a few times. And my disappointment with HeroQuest, the production quality of HeroQuest. And I just assumed they made the exact same mistake. So I just avoided it like the plague because the quality of their components is trash. So you're not going to pay $250 for it. Doesn't matter how much plastic is packed into that box. It's going to be garbage that they produce at their lowest possible Walmart, you know, board game quality level. So they're thinking, okay, we're crowdfunding this. There's a community for it. There's people that want it back. We're going to charge them out the ass with this $250 game that most people don't even know what they're getting, what they're stepping into, because it was kind of a revamp of a lot of stuff. And my disappointment with HeroQuest, and I wasn't going to even deal with this again, because I know that they don't know how to make, they're not anywhere near the level of what Kickstarter board games are. So if you're going to pay over $100 for a board game, you're going to get quality components from these smaller companies. And Hasbro doesn't get that. So they're thinking, oh, this is boutique and we do crowdfunding. Right. And yeah, so.
No, I never, I never played HeroScape. Mm-hmm. It from when we're talking about it before, I had like a thriving fan community, right? And I was never going to back the crowdfunding thing. But we talked about how, Hasbro didn't seem to know or care what the reboot or who, what audience the reboot was aimed at.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because if you're going to look to attract new people into this thing, $250 is just, that is a ridiculous price point, right? Right? For like a starter box, and GW needs to learn that too. But then like you said, on the other hand, $250, okay, maybe you're going to get the nostalgia crowd, but are you going to get enough of them? And wasn't one of the like prominent fan designers kind of involved in writing the rules at first and then not?
They claimed to be working with the community and getting input, but it didn't seem like ultimately that was actually, you know, that was just an attempt to get get over as many people.
Like, I'm not a business person, but it seemed to me like, okay, I hope this new campaign, and I think I read an article about it, like scales back and puts out something that would be a much more reasonably priced introductory box or like starter box to hopefully like attract new players, because you can't, I don't think you can only rely on the nostalgia, especially after you burned them this first time, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So so HeroScape was discontinued in 2010. And of course, fan-made figures and custom scenarios thrived on the internet. Mm-hmm. Then this Age of Annihilation was a $250 box set offered on HasLab. They needed 8,000 pre-orders to go into production and wanted about $2 million to do this. That was insanely unrealistic. They didn't even get half of that.
Right.
And this was done also, just like HeroQuest, under the Avalon Hill branding. Mm. So that, they're trying to break things up a little bit and kind of differentiate. But it didn't mean quality. Like, I was hoping that it not being, you know, branded Hasbro was going to mean they're going to step up the component quality and everything, but they did not at all. So we got, after that failed, we got Avalon Hill's head designer, Chris Nadeau, saying that this campaign brought up a lot of questions internally. Like, what do we want to do with HeroScape at this point? And he said it's basically going to go back in the vault. And so luckily, we talked about this too, Renegade Games Studio. So Hasbro's kind of leaning on them to release, to kind of use their IP and release board games. And they're also doing a lot of stuff with tabletop RPGs. So Renegade Studios is responsible for releasing Alice is Missing, Altered Carbon. There's a G.I. Joe, a Power Rangers, Transformers tabletop RPGs. Yeah, okay. And they're the ones that took over Vampire the Masquerade after the kind of shenanigans of the previous Kids on Bikes. So they publish a lot of stuff. And I think it's decent quality. It's a lot of, you know, cheesy licensed stuff with a lot of hack writers and game designers. But they're also responsible for re-releasing, kind of revamping Diplomacy, Axis and Allies, Robo Rally, and Risk.
Oh, wow, Robo Rally. Okay.
Yeah, so all that stuff is going to come back through them. So, and we were saying too that Restoration Games, the one that's kind of doing the nostalgia revamps, they were interested, or they had talked to Hasbro early on about, or I guess whoever the owner was of HeroQuest, and Hasbro ended up trying to do it themselves, or Hasbro did it themselves. They didn't try, they actually did it. And then HeroScape didn't go. So we'll see. And I think there's no release date or pricing yet, but they're talking about with this and trying to take advantage of the community and the popularity, doing organized play, in-store tournaments, and trying to do HeroScape World Championships to support and promote this game. And the difference that they're talking about is, I think there is going to be a better entry point. So they say, it's going to be a mix of the classic game and brand new content, but there's no talk about whether they have the rights to all of that. Everything that was created for Age of Annihilation. They're not using that Age of Annihilation name at all.
Smart.
But they will be doing expansions in the form of faction boxes and terrain packs. So similar to what a lot of the other miniature games are doing now, like the Star Wars Shatterpoint and stuff.
Okay.
So it's going to be incredibly overpriced terrain, but they're going to do stuff you can kind of slowly build.
Are you allowed to say incredibly overpriced terrain for a company other than GW?
No, they're rivaling that Shatterpoint stuff is GW prices. $160 for like a little walkway and a tower. Like, okay. And you don't even know, like, GW has a reputation of making, you know, right. decently cast stuff. You don't even know what the quality of this stuff is even going to be like. So
the antenna on your comms tower is going to like,
right. So we'll see. So a little bit of hope. So people that were really disappointed by the handling, Hasbro's handling of this, we'll see if Renegade Game Studios.
They can be less disappointed.
Less disappointed. Slightly less disappointed. At least less painful on your wallet there, though.
I would hope so, because there's no price point put on this yet.
Yeah, right, right. They're not so talking anything.
Hopefully, yet. If anybody at Hasbro learned anything, is that $250 is not only GW can do that,
right? But it might end up being, though, if you want to play the game, if you want to play a full table of terrain and, you know, full armies or, you know, gangs or whatever, it's going to be probably close to $250. You're just going to buy it in pieces.
Oh, come on as people mm-hmm. who bought how many boxes of North Star Oathmark figures?
Yeah, right
as someone who just spent about like 150 pounds on like resin.
150 pounds?
No. It came out to be like 150 bucks, including shipping. Oh, wow. Like resin bits.
Right.
Another shipment of 6mm light medieval stuff.
Oh.
And as someone who is browsing 15mm metal star grunt. Like, that's just kind of. Unless you have a lot of willpower, which let's be honest, a lot of gamers don't, because how else are companies able to exploit us for our nostalgia stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That's how it's done, right? That's how it comes out. You say, I'm going to buy this little box. You play with it, and then you say, oh, you know, it would be great if I had this, or I want to complete the whole faction of that, or hey, some terrain. And like, I'm not saying it's better, because you probably do end up spending $250, right?
Mm-hmm.
But best I can say is it's spread out.
Yeah, right. That helps.
And okay, and you also technically don't have to buy it. You will. We all know you will, right? But you don't have to.
Right. Yeah. And leaving it up. And I think your request is it's going to be a little less friendly for DIY stuff, even though the community is probably doing that a lot.
Because of the hex.
Hexes make it, you can't just, you know, kind of put some paper cups and stuff around. I mean, you know, I guess you can, but it makes it a little bit more, you know, you need to buy their stuff because it'll fit. It'll be modular.
Or you buy the third party stuff.
Right. And also, I think the 3D printing community figured out how to make these hexes too. Yeah. Because, you know, some of the older plastic, this is, you know, from the early 2000s originally. So some of this plastic is starting to kind of get brittle and cracking. So, so let's see what Renegade can do with this. And if it's a, if it's released well, and just, you know, basically showing the incompetence of Hasbro, how they don't know how to capitalize it. They have this whole closet because they've acquired everybody, and they have this whole closet of IPs, and they can't figure out how to, you know, release them so that they get decent support.
Well, like you said, like in-store demos, championships, kind of like tournament things, like that is a way to increase interest and hopefully they do it right.
And yeah, hopefully they talk to the existing community so that they make it something that people actually want to promote, because it's that, you know, kind of grassroots thing that's going to make this game popular. It's like the people saying, okay, yeah, they're Renegade is doing it well, so I want to get back into this
game. I know they're kind of separate companies, but not really. Based on that D&D roundtable.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine Hasbro approaching the HeroScape fan going, what do you want to see?
Yeah, right.
Because we have literally no ideas, right?
And then it's like, you want to play on hexes? Yeah. Wow, you HeroScape guys are crazy. Yeah. So, I'm sure if it's as handled as well as that their new VTT is.
Mm.
Here we go. We got a little graphic to throw on you, real quick here. So we're going to be talking about the Embracer Group.
Oh, Jesus, on me. Yeah.
Sorry, I don't have two of these. But yes, moving on to, I mean, it was nonstop news about acquisition. Yep. And then they had two big stumbles, I think, that they refused to mention who these were. But there were two like multi-billion dollar deals that fell through that were verbal agreements that they were working out the details. One, like, I think about a year ago, and then one just recently. So now Embracer Group. Yeah, and so we don't know
who gets embraced here.
Yeah, you're getting embraced. You get the tickles from the tentacles. So layoffs, studio closures, and game cancellations. So this crazy, like, swallow everything up. So they have video game studios, comic book publishers, you know, they have the Lord of the Rings IP, and as well as a lot of tabletop. So this is going to be pretty wide reaching, and they need to reduce their overhead by at least 10%. So of their 17,000 employees, I don't know how many that means is going to lose their jobs. They're saying that everything that's going to be canceled has not been announced yet. So we're not going to know what got the axe. I mean, there'll probably be ways to figure it out from, like, you know, portfolios and job descriptions and who gets made redundant. But so Embracer Group owns one of their biggest acquisitions is Gearbox, the game studio that does Borderlands. They own Lord of the Rings, Tomb Raider, and Crystal Dynamics. So they're restructuring. They moved some kind of top leadership around, pulled some executives from studios they acquired and kind of put them into the Embracer Group corporate structure. But this goes much further than I even thought, because I didn't even realize, because they own Asmodee. So they acquired Asmodee, so that's Fantasy Flight. Yeah. But that also means that Miniature Market, the big game retailer that kind of ships worldwide, is under their control for distribution. That's Fantasy Flight, Dark Horse Comics, and also Atomic Mass Games. So that's a lot more than I even realized. And they're distributors specifically for Come On, Conquest, and Two Thin Coats.
Oh, okay.
The Conquest, Duncan's studio. So, they are involved in a lot of stuff. So that makes me worry a bit. And their video game acquisitions are Gearbox, Volition, Crystal Dynamics, Eidos, Montreal, and 3D Realms. Hmm. So that means there's probably a lot of canceled video games. And it was evident that this synergy they're trying to create and, like, lumping together all these studios and IPs.
Is it synergy or is it just greed?
It's not really synergy, because their most recent failure, they tried to do a Gollum game based on the Lord of the Rings.
I didn't realize they tried to do it. All I know is it spawned a hell of a lot of memes because it sucked.
It's really bad. Yeah. So Nason and Daedalic Entertainment released Lord of the Rings Gollum, and it just was, just got
widely panned?
Destroyed. Yeah. Yep. But they're also working now on an MMO. So there's already an existing Lord of the Rings MMO. And they're doing Lord of the Rings MMO. And so it's going to be a competing, there's already a thing that has a community. It's a free to play, the original one. It moved to free to play. And so I don't know how they're going to compete with this, but they're going to set it in the Tolkien universe. And I think working with Amazon, who has not done well with gaming either. Right. So, it's quite a mess. So the things that are coming out video game wise that Embracer has control of would be Remnant 3, the 40K Space Marine 2, which is a huge release, Payday 3, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, Alone in the Dark, and Homeworld 3. So some pretty big game releases there. And those, they haven't mentioned any of those being canceled. I'll take those tentacles off yet. And
thank goodness.
So it's just unannounced things that are going to disappear, but they're saying almost entirely. So there may be something that was announced that may get the axe, but they're not talking details yet. They just know kind of what they need to do. So there's further analysis needed before they determine specific actions, but it's going to mean cutting jobs and closing studios. So it's going to be one of those things. We've seen that with Microsoft and other people. They acquire video game studios. They strip out the IPs and then just close the studio or merge it into something else. So, there's a Perfect Dark reboot coming out with Microsoft and a Tomb Raider coming out with Amazon that they said probably still will happen because of the support of those other companies. But so it's unfortunate. They're leaning heavily though into Lord of the Rings and saying, you know, it's one of the biggest gaming franchises in the world, which I don't think that's true. I mean, tabletop gaming, but not video gaming. And in the future, they're going to be moving into more video games, hopefully not like Gollum, and TV shows and movies. Yeah, so it's going to continue to happen.
So it's maybe not their plan originally, but kind of like, maybe we discussed before, they have now snapped up all these things with all these original IPs that they can now turn into movies and TV.
Right. Yes. So all of this stuff is, and so it looks like to the end, we're not going to hear about, the things won't be embraced anymore. They're just going to be let go or chopped off.
I don't want this anymore.
Yeah. This is going to be little pieces of tentacle everywhere. But they want to make a leaner and stronger, more focused and self-sufficient machine there.
What was your focus before, apart from just like grabbing everything?
Yeah, I'm really curious about the things that they couldn't get their hands on and like what that was. Because, a lost $2 billion deal happened just recently, and we heard another one about a year ago.
Lost $2 billion deal.
Yeah, I wonder who that was. It probably is something really, I mean, maybe it's probably for the best.
First thing that pops into my mind is Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, right. And so this was all announced in a memo and then shared on the company's website. And so we'll see how the employees fare. I hope
poorly. Yeah. That's how employees always fare.
You're right. I hope they're going to be okay. I hope there's other places for them to go. Mm-hmm. But they had to know, like, once this Embracer thing started happening, that, you know, you never know. They always end up having to restructure.
You have to know, but what can you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just kind of be prepared. Keep your feelers out there for who else is hiring at the time. And finally, our last sad note of the week. Privateer Press is going to halt legacy model production because they're moving facilities. Okay. So Privateer Press already talked about, I think, moving to CeoCast for a lot of their, you know, formerly metal and resin type things. But this does mean that their previous models that were produced in metal and resin are going to be discontinued. So they're saying that legacy War Machine, Hordes, and Riot Quest models are still available, and they will still fulfill orders if you're going to order from their shop. But the metal and resin... And I think officially they said this past Wednesday was the end of production. So whatever they have in stock will still be able to be ordered. And so for collectors and people that want kind of full ranges of these old school kind of original War Machine and Hordes miniatures, they're still there. But as soon as they're out of stock, they're out of stock. And they're going to say they're going to try to really accurately keep track of inventory so people know if they go to the site whether they're still there or not. So they can't guarantee stock anymore. And this will also, this move will also temporarily create this out of print period for both Monster Apocalypse and Warcaster models as they set up their new facilities. Right. So temporarily you won't be able to order some of the newer things as well. So they expressed, Privateer Press did a release, and they said they had a lot of gratitude for the community's patience and support in this move, but it's going to make them a better company, you know, creating more efficiently, more efficient and more innovative models using new materials.
I wonder what material you cast using CeoCast. Is it only plastic or resin?
Well, yeah, CeoCast is like a thermoplastic resin.
Right,
yeah, okay. And it can be remelted. That's the interesting thing about it is they produce it, they cast it on sprues, but when you get it, they clip it all out because they can take the sprue and reuse it. Right. So, you can remelt it. So, at least I don't have, you know, expertise in it, but the little bit that I read about the CeoCast is it's
reusable. Gotcha. So CeoCast is the material used to cast rather than the process itself, right?
Yeah, right.
Wonder what material they use to make the molds.
Oh, yeah, right.
I would have to go look, right?
Yeah, because if it's not, it may not be, like, it doesn't have to be tooled metal, you know, injection mold. So maybe much cheaper.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe something, you know, closer to you know, what they do with resin. It may be some sort of rubber or some sort of silicone or something that's easier to deal with.
The last time I remember seeing, like, modeling, molding stuff was the metal GW stuff, right? Where you have these, like, rubber disc things that you pour the metal in and spin.
Oh, yeah, right. But, yeah, the centrifugal ones, yeah.
But, like, whatever process you use, wear and tear and just use makes the mold unusable. Like, only because I was browsing the Ground Zero games for those 50mm Star Grunt things, and they said it's a one person operation, and, like, molds run out, and they're like if you don't see it on the website, we might still have some, we might still make a special order for you, but we had to retool this or new sculpts. So move into a new production facility. That would be the time to say these old molds.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to, because they won't have, they're probably getting rid of all the machines that they use to cast the resin in the metal anyhow.
This thing, like, and plus, like, just, okay, sucks. I'm not a War Machine player anymore. But, like, storage, like the company having to hold on to all these molds and all this stuff, are just like, no, moving. As someone who just finished moving is a timely clean house.
Right. Yeah. So that it's the end of an era for Privateer Press. So there's not going to be, so, you know, they'll be floating around in the secondary market, but there's not going to be any way to directly order old school stuff.
Well, I wonder if they're even usable though. I mean, they're always going to be usable, but I wonder what the latest incarnation of rules and lists and stuff.
Right. Yeah, no, they may have moved away from a lot of these older models anyhow. And the flexible, you know, you have, the newer models, you can change the kind of loadouts, the arms and stuff.
Or you can if you magnetize it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And with the older metal, I don't think they included as many options because they didn't make that a possibility. And what I've seen from the CoCast, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of different machines and things that can do this process, but it seems pretty small. It's like it's a pretty small, so they're not producing, you know, it's not huge runs. I mean, it's like they're doing just a few sprues at a time.
Right.
So it looks like a smaller scale thing, which may be much easier for made to order. That means less warehousing because they get orders and they can run them maybe much easier.
Yeah, you don't have to store it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, warehousing might be solved by this. But, yeah, we'll see. And we'll see. Yeah, Privateer Press, I haven't – because we talked about there's a new version of a War Machine and Hordes out now, but I haven't heard much about it. Like they did a whatever the third edition – whatever edition they're on.
They got to four.
Four, yeah. Yeah, so the fourth edition is out, and they've changed – you know, they've kind of – rewritten things and hopefully like streamlined and improved things, but I haven't heard anybody talking about it. It's not getting a lot of coverage. So
no, it isn't.
Yeah. Hope well, they're doing okay.
Circles, but
Yeah. And it's just like these constant releases of, you know, Games Workshop rule sets is really overshadowing a lot of what other people are doing. Cause it's just, cause it's this year we're getting 10th edition 40K. Next year we're going to get what third edition or whatever Age of Sigmar. So they're just going to, every couple of years, there's literally going to be a whole new major release, a whole new starter set.
I mean, I have to think GW knows that. And so they've time your stuff, right? To just kind of constantly stay in the news.
Yeah. Because they can barely get their army books and codexes, you know, released before the new
That's always been the case. That's always not okay. Not maybe not
so
always.
Funny, yeah,
but in recent memory, that has always been the case, right? By the time you get to the unpopular codexes,
right,
they're already out of date. Because,
here's your rules. Okay, new edition.
Yeah.
It's like that literally happened with 10th edition. I think it's like 3 months ago. People got the codex for 9th, and they're like, "Oh yeah, well you can just throw that away."
Yeah, it's in the chipper, in the shredder. Yeah,
and they literally do that. That was the most depressing thing that I heard. And I don't know if I don't know how secret this is, but Games Workshop destroys all of the old stuff anymore. They don't liquidate it. Like,
Of course not.
Yeah, because they don't want you using it.
They don't want you using it. They know there's a large secondary market. Stuff. Like, right. I'm not exactly sure why, but I've seen like the nostalgia kind of start creeping up. Mm-hmm, even in my feed, people are like, "Look what someone gave me," or "I want that old model." All this, and so GW goes, "Nah, fuck you guys."
Yeah,
because
people could get stuck at their favorite edition and never. You know, never step up to. And but that used to not be the case. The stores used to discount and clear out all the old stuff so you could buy it. And it's become very confusing now. And so I think intentionally so with online retailers and stuff, you don't know what edition things are. And they sometimes use the same art between editions.
Yeah,
and you're just like, "Oh, come on." Yeah. Like, what is this? So unless you get a release date, you know, unless you're getting an ISBN or a release date on these books, you don't even quite know what is being sold online.
Yeah. I don't do GW anymore.
Right.
That and their ridiculous prices, right?
Yes.
So I read an article after the second thing. I got to bounce real fast. Sure. I read an article where people were talking about like the four new regiments of renown for Age of Sigmar coming out, and it was a Dicebreaker or Polygon article. And like right at the top of the paragraph, it was like, "Well, out of like all of the boxes, there is one new model in this." And I think, how did they word it? They said something like, "It's a little bit disappointing that there's only one new model in the box, but we suppose it's better than nothing." And I'm like, if you are talking about a new upcoming release product and like the best you can say is it's better than nothing.
Right.
Like, bro, there's a problem here, right? Mm-hmm.
Once you've chosen your army, you just sit with your hands out and just, you know, wait for GW to drip some rules or drip some miniatures your way.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's silly. Well, that's going to do it for this week. So good luck to Privateer Press. Hopefully,
And bad luck to new TSR.
Yes, bad luck. Very bad luck. All right. So that's it for today or for this week. Where can people find you?
On Twitter, as always, where I'm talking about 15mm metal miniatures for Xenos.
So we're going to have to start producing our own rubber centrifugal. I mean,
we
could do
that. We're looking at CoCast.
Yeah, right.
If it's that small, it'd be perfect for Japanese.
Yeah, right. If it's, that's actually true. Yeah, we got to see how much those, I'm sure they can't be more than $100,000.
Yeah. I think it was anyway.
And the material can't be that expensive.
Yeah, storage.
Yeah, right. But we could be the first CoCast production house in Japan.
Ooh, I like it.
All right. Yeah. So, so where can people find you?
Twitter. That's HiveMind, HyveMynd, and Instagram occasionally when I remember to post there.
Oh, but good. Anyway. All right. And still doing Abuse Cartoons. So Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitter. So I draw my weekly single panel gag cartoon. And if you want to read that cartoon, 20 years of it are on Go Comics. So gocomics.com/domesticabuse.
Impressive archive. Yes. 20 years. Yeah.
Yes. And I've been able to keep that name and not get canceled for 20 years as well.
Well, you know what they say? Okay. There's a thing, go woke, go broke. Actually, it's go fash, lose cash. There it is, right? I didn't coin that. I saw that online. And that was pretty good. Yeah.
Everybody's losing money on both ends. Good people on both sides are losing money.
Don't go there.
Anyhow, and if you'd like to support what we're doing, this nonsense that happens every week, please consider supporting us by going to patreon.com/upturntable and becoming a weakling.
Yes, the strongest of all supporters.
And send us some links and ideas about what you'd like to see in this weekly live stream. And you can
live stream COcast.
Yes, right, yes, move to COcast. And you can go to upturntable.com to see everything that we're up to. We just last week did the third battle for the Escalation League for Oathmark. So you can see that and all kinds of good stuff. And wait for a long time while we eat pizza before the stream starts.
That, yeah.
So I put a link underneath that so you can click on that.
Jump to
I think it's like 40 minutes in. Yeah. Sorry about that. But that'll do it for this week. Yeah. We'll be back again next week.
Later, mortals.
Goodbye.